I'm here at Greenside Launch with Ed and Bertie from Bojangles to talk about their show On the Box. But before I talk about the specific show, I mean, is this hard-hitting physical theatre?
Hard-hitting on us, less so on the audience, I think. It is physical. Physically, it's challenging for us. Hard-hitting for the audience? I'd like to. I'm not sure I'm allowed.
But in the creation of this, I mean, what came first, the music or the theatre?
Actually, it kind of all comes together, but initially we work on the music and then we create the sort of theatre around it. But we come up with a concept, first of all, and then sort of build it together.
Okay, so, but what does that look like in a rehearsal room?
Chaotic. We'll write the music and then we'll learn the music sort of from memory, and then we'll go in and crash into each other a few times, smash a few instruments up, and then go, that's the one we're going to do, and hopefully perform it.
Now, I'm always interested in the moment of creation of an idea. I mean, yeah. How did you all come together?
We are a natural kind of creation coming out of street performance in Covent Garden. And we were all trained classically, and we were doing classical, boring, started street performing, a bit more movement, and then we just wanted to do more. And just kept doing more, we had more gags, we had more movement, so we got into rehearsal rooms and started rehearsing them. So it came from the freedom of being able to perform on the street after having trained for years as classical musicians. And then so much more movement and freedom, and then we decided to get theatrical with it and put it out there.
So you've chosen this venue specifically because it's not just, you know, end on with the audience, is it?
No, absolutely.
We're actually performing upstairs, which is straight on.
Oh, right, okay.
Because part of our show is works on the round, but a lot of it we designed to be straight on. So that stage that we just played on is actually really great, and it would have been a great stage for us, but we chose the upstairs because it's slightly smaller. And this is our first year at Edinburgh, so we wanted to... start small and grow, hopefully.
And do the gags come out of playing them with each other, or do you decide gags and then, you know, try and block them?
Wow. It's a combination, I'd say. A lot of, because we've all known each other for a really long time, so a lot of the gags just come and we try stuff out, and some of our best are probably just from improvised ideas. Yep. But then other ones we'll add in, like the Game of Thrones reference we just added in a couple of weeks ago, because it's so, you know, well, we're all Game of Thrones geeks. And that was devised as much as it can be. A lot of it, I think, I would say we're comedy geniuses, and it just comes from our natural...
Oh, we're the right town to claim
that. No, really, we're not at all. We're not.
Fringe Reviews, you know, got a lot of listeners that are very into the craft of theatre, and we've seen a lot of kind of theatre over the years. There is a dynamic about three performers, which is three's a crowd, and you've got four, which has got a kind of symmetry about it, which you can see in the way that you've done some of the set pieces. What do you get from four that you can't, say, get from three?
Well,
tough question,
an extra voice. It means that three of you can be annoyed at one other person all the time,
right.
And we constantly move it around who we're annoyed at.
Yeah, there's a lot of that dynamics in the bit we saw.
Absolutely, I think you can move the characters around, the focal point around. You have that added person to kind of just shift it around, so there's more variety for the audience to focus on. And, oh, you've got four, rather than three, you kind of know the triangle, how it's going to work around, but before it can change. It works for our voices. We've got soprano, alto, tenor, bass. It works for that.
And for the string quartet,
and
obviously.
The string quartet. It works for that. Yeah. So generally, four is our kind of our good number.
Yeah.
And I mean, you put me right and said, you know, this is upstairs, actually in an end-on space. You know, how does that reach the back row?
Eyes and teeth, darling.
Eyes and teeth.
Eyes and teeth. Yeah. Pretty much.
We used to, as Ed said before, we started off doing street theatre. Yeah. Oh, and we still all do that. And that's where you're trying to reach to people that aren't even watching you, who are all the way over the other side. So we've learned through years of practice how to project everything as far as we can. So actually, in a small theatre, it's actually, in a way, we're able to bring it in a bit more and make it sort of smaller, which is... something that we weren't used to doing. We were used to doing everything as big as possible. So this enables us to be subtle. Although I wouldn't say subtle is a word that you could put with our performance.
Let's try to be subtle sometimes. Let's try. We'll attempt it.
And I'm quite interested in that dynamic too, that, you know, you've got a piece that's going to get a lot of audience reaction. And I guess with street theatre, that's required. Here, we're in a more traditional space. Are you guys just... I'm not going to say churning it out, but doing a very tight piece and the audience is there? Or are you being affected by the audience?
there's a mixture of both. There'll be parts of the show where turning out's not the right. I don't think it's. We'll be aiming to hit it nail on, and that is our job. And there'll be other points where the very much the reaction of the audience, because it's a two-way thing, performance, and it is there for the audience to be involved in and sort of communicate with. If they're laughing, brilliant. If they're cheering, whatever. But for us, we're communicating with them. We do make eye contact with the audience, so it gives them the sort of free card to just get involved and feel like they can be involved with laughter, rather than some shows where there's no kind of it's the fourth wall. So we'd like to feel like it's happening with the audience.
And then I suppose a question of ego, really, but also about, you know, being excellent. I mean, where does perfectionism sit with a show this tight?
Perfectionism. Oh, that is one. That's a big word for us, because we trained classically, and the whole drive behind classical music and playing classical music is about being perfect, which we all rather find not. That words very difficult. However, we do rehearse an awful lot and we perform an awful lot, so we get it as tight as we can. But we don't worry about being perfect, because perfect loses all the nuances and all the happy accidents. Like we were saying before, with a lot of our comedy and our humour, quite often that's come out of happy accidents that didn't mean to happen, and then they become part of the show. So we don't like the word perfect.
And is that, who's been stabbed during rehearsals?
I think we all have at some point or other. I've definitely been stabbed. Mitch broke his bow on Esme's bottom. Bertie smashed my violin at one point. And there has been some blood.
I've been all right.
You've been all right, yeah. There has been blood drawn at one or two times, but mostly we've got away with it.
Can you give us kind of uninitiated kind of musicians an insight into the instruments themselves? What effect can you create with, say, a larger string instrument that you can't quite create with a smaller one, and the smaller one gives you a different kind of effect? The sound of it, the way you're playing with it.
Well, the acoustics is the larger the instrument, the lower it is, and the smaller the instrument, the higher it is. Yeah. So having the cello provides us with the bass, and the violins are the sort of often up high, the melody, and the viola is just the really awesome one in the middle.
So, you know, lots of comedy has been around Laurel and Hardy, you know, the bigger and the smaller. There's comedy in the actual instruments themselves then?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Well, the viola is the comedy instrument, because it's well known to take the mickey out of the viola. There are thousands and thousands of viola jokes out there. So I always get it. They get the viola jokes.
I'm sorry, tell me a viola joke. I've never heard one.
No, I refuse.
Okay, just listen. There are thousands of viola jokes. Get on Google, everybody listening. just another question about a group like this then. So you get a show like this together. You can tour it around the streets, around venues. What next? Are you already cooking the next show? What happens to the journey of all this kind of work?
We're kind of cooking around the ideas of the next show. We've got a couple of little sketches which could work in the new show, or they might come into something else at a later stage. So this is our Fringe debut. So much of our energy has been put into this, because we're new and we're excited and we're nervous as hell. So it's kind of this. At the moment, we're focused on this. We've got a few ideas sketching around in the background. And once this is done, we'll probably have a collapse for a week or two.
And then we're going to fly. We're going to learn to fly.
Yeah.
Like, be strung up. That's one of the ideas. You know those, when they're on, like, stretchy rubber band things and they fly around, do theatre like that? We want to try doing that with our instruments.
I thought you were going to say you're going to be the first string quartet to jump out of an aeroplane.
Oh, actually, Mitch has already jumped out of an aeroplane recently, but I'm not sure. With instruments, we could give it a go.
Give it a go.
And try and play Vivaldi 10,000 feet
up. After the viola.
Yeah, after the viola. Bye!
Well, here from the Greenside launch, I'd say that Bojangles is on the box, has to be one of the must-see shows at the Fringe, so thank you very much.
Thank you.